Our gospel for this Sunday comes to us from the sixth chapter of the gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Very interestingly, this is right in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount. And the whole first part of this chapter is him talking about, well, giving and praying and fasting and all of these things that has to deal with what we might call piety and how you practice faith. And so he goes on after saying, no one can serve two masters, you cannot serve God and wealth. He says this, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And can any of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who strive for all these things, and indeed your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But strive first for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. The gospel of our Lord. Praise you, O Christ. Please be seated. You know, it's one of those odd things. You know, we love our pets. You know, they are part of our family, are they not? All right? So, I mean, some of them you brought them, and some of you are looking at me like, Pastor, you made a comment that this was a blessing, not an exorcism, so we left ours at home. That's where mine are. The problem with cats often is that they have an argument with God. They think they are, you know? So, but it's amazing what I see people doing. I mean, I saw a guy take a pet chicken to the gym. I'm like, what are you doing? He's like, well, he's here to work on his pecs. You know, just in time for Christmas, because, you know, for all of those things that you didn't know you needed, but, you know, and for the person who has everything, a brand new creation has been compiled together, blending the DNA of a hummingbird, an ant, and sheep. For those of you who don't like Christmas, I present to you the Bah Humbug. And you know, it's a sad thing, but you know, we all know that we have to take care of our pets, right? You have to care for them. They look to you, they trust you, all right? And I learned a hard lesson once when I was young. I had a pet rock, and it ran away. I took it for granted. Thank you, Alice. Yes, we're here because we know for those of us with pets that they add something to our lives, do they not? We care for them. Because it's important to us. We cared for them because oftentimes we see them as what they give us things that we need. You know, in the prayers that we had, at the start of the service, as part of the confession, but as part of also the prayer of the day, that they befriend us, they may protect us. For those who have service animals that do various things for them, they're important parts of our lives. And they're part of this wonderful world. Now, and it is good. In fact, as God says, it's very good. And then you might make the mistake of turning on the news. Right? No, that's unfortunately not funny. Isn't it amazing that in the beginning, God created, and it was good. And not only was it good, it was very good. That was the creation. That was the baseline. That was the intent. That is what God set up. That is God's desire. We might hear part of Jesus' statements in the Sermon on the Mount going, "That's lovely, but what about the people who have no food, who do not have appropriate clothing?" We might hear a correction saying, "Yeah, it's not about constantly eating and eating and eating and having all kinds of dietary problems because of that, or wasting food, or going into massive debt trying to keep up with the latest fashion." But for many, just telling them, "Don't worry about food, don't worry about clothing," could seem dismissive and an incredible lack of compassion and very discouraging. But God created this world so that it was good. In fact, that it was very good. So what happened? You can get into all kinds of conversations about that. It's often been said that, isn't it amazing that we can produce enough food for 3 times the number of people the planet currently has, and yet so many go without? That's a problem. We could have conversations about climate and weather and places that are facing insane droughts and famines because of it, or famines that are caused by war and violence. The reality is that's obviously not what God wants, because that's not good. And it sure as heck isn't very good. And yet, for some strange reason, we might, of all things, still think of hope and peace and joy. Why? All evidence to the contrary. In this creation, we might still go, "Wait a minute, I still believe in hope, peace, and joy. Why?" Well, it might have something to do with that cross behind me. I still believe in hope, peace, and joy. Kind of like Louis Armstrong. Louis Armstrong sang that beautiful song, "What a Wonderful World." What a wonderful world. I need a drink, it seems. I don't know. Jeez. It's nice to know that, you know, even a professional speaker gets tongue-tied. There we go. We all got the name of the song now. Are we good? So I don't have to try it again? Okay, great. You realize that when he sang that song, there were many clubs and venues and places in this own country he could not go to. That he was drastically underpaid compared to any of the white performers that were going on. He was in the midst of Jim Crow racism simply because of the color of his skin. He was prohibited from playing in certain clubs or even possibly attaining certain awards. And yet he sang that song. Thank you. WWW. Not going to try that again. Why? Because he had faith. He had faith that there was more than what was. He understood that the creation was good. It was very good. That God's intent was not what he was experiencing. But he knew that that the arc of history was long, but it did turn towards justice. Why? Because he had faith. And so we can, in the face of everything, still have an understanding of hope, peace, and joy. And in fact, that is our calling. As God says, I've got you. I've got you now and later. In fact, because I've got you so much later, I'm inviting you into making now a bit more like later. I'm inviting you to be a part of the fact that the kingdom of God is near. That you know it is. That you know that even the worst things you may see on the news, the worst things you may experience, are not the last things because of the cross of Christ. We know that God knows. We know that God came. We know that God was here. And we know that God will come again. And we also know that the Holy Spirit is with us now to give us a foretaste of the feast to come, to give us a glimpse, to strengthen us, to call us to do the things that we can do in the spaces where God has called us to be. And has also sent us little reminders, and many of you brought them, that the creation is good. You may also come across times when you experience others as very good. But the promise remains. The creation is as the creation was. It is good. It is very good. And we're called to be a part of it. Now today, you know, we go, okay, so what can we really do? Because in the face of everything, yeah. So here's a prayer I want to teach you. It is called the prayer attributed to St. Francis. And on this day we're doing this, this is in honor of St. Francis, who called the church and called the faithful to be mindful of all of creation. And in that tension between the good and not feeling so good, he calls us to respond. And let me read this to you. Lord, make me a vessel in your kingdom. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is discord, union. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. Grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. That promise and the presence of God is with us. The kingdom is near. The creation is good. You are claimed, marked, and sealed for service in the kingdom. And so may you find them online, printed in some form, put it on your mirror, put it on your computer monitor when you're going through Facebook and all those other places. I might recommend putting it on your rearview mirror of your car, but then no. That's where I think I should put mine, but I know better. To understand the fact that you are good. You are very good. You are blessed to be a blessing. You are loved to love. You are forgiven to forgive. And that no matter what, we are called into the process of dying and rising, and being that and being for and with others. As Christ showed compassion to us, may we find ways to show compassion to others. And remember that God loves you, and so do I. Amen.